Now, will you notice? Who shall change our vile body? And I want to change that just a little, if you don't mind. A vile body actually is better translated body of humiliation. Or I think even more acceptable is the body of corruption. You and I have a body that's a corruptible body. It'll have to be put away one of these days when you and I move out because it's subject to corruption. And he's going to change these corruptible bodies that we've got. That is a great, wonderful hope. I'd like to trade mine in right now, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, a vile body is a body of corruption, and we are to be changed like unto his own glorious body. It will be a body that will be like the one the Lord Jesus had after his resurrection. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the whole point here, it'll be sudden, and it'll take place at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. There are those that assume that one of the angels in Revelation, the seventh trumpet, that's the trumpets being blown here. But where did they get the idea that this is the trumpet blown by the seventh angel, when in fact the one blowing the trumpet is not even indicated? And you know why? Because it's not a trumpet in the sense we think of somebody tooting a horn, if that's what you're thinking of. Now, you have that in Revelation because you're dealing with Israel. Israel was moved on the wilderness march by the blowing of trumpets. The two silver trumpets were used to move them on the wilderness march. They're used to trumpets. We're not. We're never called. Somebody says, but it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Well, that's the trump of God. And somebody's turned it over to Gabriel, and Gabriel's going to blow a horn. What nonsense. Gabriel doesn't even own a horn. And if he does, I don't think he can blow it. He's not blowing the horn. What does it mean there? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a voice of an archangel. There's an archangel with him? No. His voice is like the voice of an archangel. It speaks of the dignity and the majesty of that shout of his. And the trumpet? What about that? Well, that's his voice. Oh, that speaks how penetrating it's going to be and how awe-inspiring it's going to be. Somebody says, can you be sure of that? Oh, yes. Over in Revelation 1:10, it says, John says, I heard a voice like the sound of a trumpet. Well, who's got a voice like that? Well, John says, I turned to see. And who do you think it was? The glorified Christ. It's going to be his voice. There's no trumpet connected with the church at all. And here it's the Lord giving the last call. Today he stands at the door and knock, and he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open to me. But that's the last one. And the door is opened. And out go from this earth a group of people that have been put on the launching pad of faith. And they don't go through any tribulation period. May I say to you, those that have the church going through the Great Tribulation have, to my judgment, the flimsiest scriptures to use of any theory that is abroad today. And yet, there are many so-called intelligent men. But I find those men spend more time with philosophy and psychology and history and subjects like that rather than the study of the Word of God. And I've dwelt now with this quite a bit because I think this is very important for us to see. Now, will you notice here again, who shall change our body of corruption that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able to subdue all things unto himself. And this speaks of the thing that John spoke of also. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, doesn't appear now, but when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And there's no thought in those passages other than that of high hope, expectancy, excitement, and great anticipation. And there's not even a scintilla of suggestion that the church will go through that period that's known as the Great Tribulation period. And he very candidly told the church, I'm going to keep you from that hour, which is coming on the whole earth to try them that dwell here upon this earth. And that's a worldwide judgment that's coming, and there's only one that's coming, and that's the Great Tribulation period. How important that is to see. So Paul, he had a hope for the future. And what's your hope for the future? The Great Tribulation period? My friend, that is just about as hopeless as the man today who has no hope, saying, well, got to grit my teeth now because I'm going through a time of judgment. I enjoy flying on the 747s, and I'll tell you why. There's several reasons, but the main reason is this. We were flying to the Hawaiian Islands, and I noticed that he went way north, and we came in way north. We couldn't even see the big island. And you know why? There was a storm down there. There was a storm front on the southern route, or the direct route going. And he went north, and we were about, oh, I suppose 30 minutes late getting in. Maybe not quite that much. I appreciated the fact that he went around the storm. I wasn't looking forward to that at all. And that's no blessed hope. It used to be the pilot would say, there is a storm front ahead of us, and we're going to have turbulence for the next 30 minutes. That was no blessed hope to me. But it sure is nice to have him say, we're going to go around and try to miss this front. And the Lord says to the church, we're going to miss it. That's what he said. And you can twist it around to suit your theory. But that's what he says. He made it very clear.